It's so easy to feel lost in the world today. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can break through the noise of what everyone is telling you to do and lay your foundation for a life of success, purpose, and joy. I'm Caleb Price. As a fellow young adult and certified life coach, I'm sharing exactly how to do this, how to navigate the struggles of adulthood, and how to find yourself. Join me and become the modern young adult you've always wanted to be. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Caleb Price, and I am here to talk to you today about your goals. How are your goals going? If you made New Year's resolutions, we're in May, which is almost a halfway point, so to speak. Where are you in that? Where is your trajectory? Have you forgotten entirely about some of them? I have. I certainly have about a couple, I'm sure. One of them for me right now is actually coming down to the wire, though. I have a marathon coming up on June 1st, and I can't believe I'm actually doing this, especially because about a month ago, after a long run, my ankle started hurting, and I was wondering, would I be even able to do any of this? Fortunately, I think I will be able to, but it's really caused me to reflect and wonder on my progress. If the trajectory of my path, of my goal, is it going to get me to where I want to be? And I've thought about that for you as you're potentially in this time of transition, entering the summer. Hopefully finals went well for you, or hopefully, you know, if you don't have finals, but you still, you know, get this idea of summer, this is a good time to begin reflection, is what I want to call it. But I want to talk today about how do we reflect when we potentially feel stuck in our progress of a goal, or just wondering, you know, why things might not be working out, or just wondering, are we on the right path? Are we getting to where we want to be? This isn't a question that we necessarily ask ourselves immediately or 2 weeks after a goal, but after some time, I think it can be very useful, especially if we feel like we've hit some sort of plateau in our progress when it comes to anything. So like for me, my marathon training, it can be easy to see, feel like, okay, I don't know if I'm making any progress. What's going on? Am I doing everything that's required? Is this going to get me to where I want to be? Sometimes, though, I want to make a big caveat. We just have, you know, bad weeks, so to speak. Sometimes we just feel off. That's what I talked about in my episode on the rule of thirds. Sometimes we're just not going to feel it. Sometimes it's not going to be good. That's not a reason to doubt. That's not a reason to do what I'm talking about. But if you genuinely, in whatever you're approaching right now, so whether it's a, you know, health goal, weight loss goal, dating goal, or you just feel stuck in some sort of emotional plateau and everything might just feel a little bit blah right now, whatever it might be, I want to talk about this idea of how reflection, not rejection, can help you in your progress. And so what do I mean by this? This past week, I had to teach Sunday school for my ward, you know, just kind of got volunteered into it a little bit, and which is great because I actually love teaching. It's one of my favorite things to do, but I probably could have prepared better. But the thing that stood out to me from these chapters, this was in the Book of Mormon, it's in Mosiah. There's a story of these people that are being taught by King Benjamin, and King Benjamin, he's not laying it on them, but he's basically being very, you could say, blunt or honest about our condition as mortals in this world, that we are weak and that we can't do it on our own. Like we can't make it, so to speak. And I don't think this applies just spiritually. I think it applies to everything. Like when it comes to your physical, emotional, whatever goal you have, you can't do it on your own. Like, and that could be either divine assistance, that can be the people around you, depending on what you believe. For me, it's for sure, you know, going to be, you know, relying on Jesus Christ and whatnot. But basically, he expounds on all this big doctrine. I mean, just the idea that like we're basically nothing because we're always going to choose wrong to some degree because we just have the ability to choose and therefore we are less than, so to speak. And yet this amazing, you know, atonement was done for us. And so therefore we must be everything to this person. And therefore now we have the opportunity to make ourselves more only through him. And so at least that's what he's teaching. And so, but it's interesting because the people's reaction to it is they are obviously struck in their hearts to like a great sense of their humility and recognize that, and they pray. And once they pray, they're filled with joy in their condition. That's the thing, is nothing changed about their situation, except for the fact, I guess, that they prayed and they expressed their faith in that, and then they were comforted and had joy, yet they would still be technically, so to speak, the same person. They experienced a change of heart, a change of thought, we might want to also call it, but their situation hadn't changed. They hadn't become that person, yet by that, you know, line of thinking, that would, we would imagine, and we kind of see later on in the scriptures, that is what happens, is that they do experience a mighty change. And so it really got me thinking, how are we able to view ourselves in that sort of way? View ourselves in an honest way, but in a way that does not reject ourselves, but accepts ourselves. Because I think that's really the secret. We you know, in the Sunday school class, we talked a lot about this kind of concept about like, how, like, what was it about this experience that made it different than what we sometimes do as human beings when we look at ourselves and we just feel terrible. We feel terrible when we look at ourselves because we think, oh, I said something stupid in that conversation. I shouldn't have said that. Or like, I'm not making any progress in the scrolls. I'm actually going backwards in that. I had this this experience is very weak because I had hurt my ankle earlier, I hadn't been as diligent in my running, obviously, because I needed to rest. And there was that was very good that I did that. That was my season to do that. But in that time, I think also I was kind of a little bit more lenient when it came to like my eating goals and whatnot, when it came to my nutrition. And so as I like saw myself in the mirror recently, I mean, obviously nothing crazy or whatnot, but it's just like my brain had the reaction of like, oh, we are like regressing. We're going back in a goal that we have for ourselves this year. Like, you are doing something wrong in that sense. And it just immediately like alarm bells went off in this like reflection, literal reflection of the mirror. And immediately my brain just wanted to go on the trajectory of, we need to reject this, or you need to do better, you should be better, all along that line. And I thought to myself, in that kind of moment, because you go down it a little bit, but then I just started to play around like, why? Why do we have to do any of this? Like, why is this the only way, you know, that we can change? And of course, that's not. Of course, there is a better way. Like, how can we balance this idea of reflecting and truly being honest, looking at the facts of a situation, but then choosing to believe in ourselves from it, instead of rejecting ourselves from it? Because that's what we learned from the model that I teach in coaching, that you can have a circumstance and think anything about it, whatever it is. Let's say the circumstance is your singleness. You can choose to accept yourself in that, embrace it, set a plan of trajectory of how you might want to change that and put effort into it, but at the same time, love yourself. Versus an idea where we typically might want to go in our singleness is, you are therefore wrong or doing something wrong, which is, I believe, 100% not the case. Yes, there might be things that you want to change in this honest reflection, but it does not mean you as the person underneath the goal is wrong, because the whole point of the goal is for you. You are not there for the goal. The goal is there for you. And so how do we do this? An honest reflection to me is literally that, where it comes to a mirror, but oftentimes we make it a silly mirror. We make it something that's way distorted than what it actually is, or we avoid the whole picture and we only see our flaws. To me, a mirror is simply just showing us where is our trajectory and how we might need to adjust depending on what kind of outcome we want. I had this coworker at work who gave this great point of advice. So he was working also on like a weight loss goal he was talking about. And he's a very, very engineer mindset in terms of like very thought process. And so very literal in that sense. So he was just like, well, let me make a graph. And he was like, well, like if this is like my quote unquote plan of what I want in terms of what I'm eating and exercising and the general trajectory of what's to be expected, every day or every week, so to speak, this is where I'll end up. And so he was doing this with his wife, and when they looked at it, they saw, oh, if this is the amount of effort that we put in every week to this thing, it's going to take us like a couple years to actually get to where we want to be. I don't know if we necessarily want to be doing that. And so then they adjusted their trajectory. They took a hard look at what was going on and recognized a change needed to be made in order to get to a place that they wanted to be. It's the same thing we see with astronauts, you know, where we have to adjust trajectory in order to get them to a specific location with all the math. And I find that this is a little bit of a metaphor that I was thinking about, is that like in competition shows like Bake Off or whatnot, they often have these like grand visions of what they want. And yet, but they sometimes, the ones that succeed, I find they adjust their trajectory amidst kind of the turmoil. And they're able to like recalculate and see, I can't do this. If I want a good finished product at the end of the day, I can't do this thing. I have to put it aside. And so sometimes that might be even how we might be adjusting our trajectories, recognizing, hey, maybe we need to sacrifice some things. Hey, maybe we need to take a hard look and get rid of some of the comforts that we've been holding on to in order to get to a place we want to be. So like for me in my marathon, it's learning how to sacrifice sleep or sacrifice not staying up as late so I can get the sleep necessary to wake up earlier to then run and then be at my job and so on and so forth. Our brain doesn't like this. Plainly put, we don't like looking at ourselves. I don't think we're used to it because we are not designed like physically to look at ourselves. It requires an object outside of us or requires a person outside of us to describe even what we look like. We cannot do it on our own. And so I think it's very foreign to our idea to see ourselves. It's like when you hear your own voice for the first time and you kind of hate it because it just sounds so foreign to you and you're like, that's not me in that sense, or it doesn't feel right because you don't like that idea. And it's so fascinating that inherent to looking at ourselves or hearing ourselves, we reject ourselves because we don't like it. We think it's ugly, or we think it's wrong, or we think that like this person should be better, or we're just not this kind of thing that we're looking at. And yet, if we look at the mirror, it's just showing us us. It's just showing us a fact. The brain is the one that's offering you the thought that makes you feel that way. So we have to go in and look at, why are we rejecting ourselves in that sort of way? I think a lot of times we might think of it like, we sometimes reject the idea of cleaning our room, is that looks like a lot of work and I don't want to look at that. Meaning like, you know, we put off things like spring cleaning or whatnot because we're like, ooh, like it's kind of gross or kind of ugly. Like, I don't want to do that. But if you put it off, it only gets worse, so to speak. If you never look, you'll never know as well. And sometimes when you look, you realize it's not as hard as you thought it would be. Like I find a lot of the times when I'm doing tasks in my schedule and I finally get to one and I put it off, when I finally do it, I'm like, this is way easier than just like having it in the back of my mind this entire time. And so how do we do this? How do we like not reject ourselves when we take on, I'll say definitely, some discomfort? It's going to feel uncomfortable to look at yourself. Like, I challenge you to just stare at yourself in the mirror for like a minute. It's kind of hard to do because your brain's going to have a whole bunch of thoughts and it's going to wonder and it's going to be like, ugh. Like, you know, it just, that's what it does. That's what it's going to do, especially if you haven't practiced this skill of looking at yourself. And so you could literally look at yourself, but also take out a journal, take out a notebook and write, what do you think about yourself? Or honestly evaluate your progress when it comes to the thing that you're wanting to do, whether it's getting a job, getting a girlfriend, or, you know, losing weight, or approaching some kind of exercise goal, writing a book, whatever it might be that you're trying to achieve. Honestly reflect, how's it going? But looking at the facts of it first, and then employing these methods that I've kind of come up with that I feel like you learn from this experience of the people of King Benjamin in that story. The first thing is that we can accept our nothingness. that's what happened when they looked at their symbols. They accepted that they were, so to speak, less than the dust of the earth in this context. And so for our context of, you know, our emotional, mental, whatever goals we're talking about, accepting our nothingness is recognizing that we are human, recognizing we will mess up or have mistakes or have setbacks or things won't go perfectly right as much as we want them to be. And to accept that and be like, it's okay. We recognize that we cannot do this on our own. And when I say we recognize we can't do this on our own, that could be the fact, like, that could be reaching out to people. I actually would challenge each and every one of you to ask a friend, ask a trusted family member in this area of your life that you might struggle with. Like, hey, what could I change potentially? Or what do you think? How am I doing in this area? What, get a little bit of honest feedback. My caveat to this is, of course, they're not you, so they can't know what you want in your life. That's why I really like working with a coach, because a coach can like tell me, they create that space for me, but they're not going to tell me what to do in that sense. They're basically just telling me what I need. Like if I want to get to a certain outcome, they're telling me what I want in that way. And they're basically just showing me their whole goal. And my whole goal as a coach is to be a mirror. And so we have to accept help. That's part of this idea, is recognizing that, yeah, we can't do it on our own, and accept our own nothingness, not as if it's a bad thing, but I think honestly that it's a good thing, that it's just part of life. And that's how we grow, is recognizing that we're human beings, we're going to mess up, there's opposition in all the things that we're going to do, we're not going to want to go after our goals half of the time, and that's okay. That's part of it. We need to accept that part of ourselves and recognize, hey, maybe we do want to change our trajectory or in order to get to a goal, but it also, none of this matters, really. None of these goals, so to speak, matter. It's just for fun, or it's just for, you know, because we have a desire for it. We do not have to put ourselves through the stress or angst or whatnot that we are doing right now, because it's just there for us. It's there for us. And so another thing I think related to that is believing that this goal or the thing is not, that's not where our worth is. Our worth is in us. It's not in accomplishing the thing. When we put so much worth on the like thing outside of us, and then we don't accomplish that, of course we're going to want to reject ourselves. We reject anything that we don't think is worthy, so to speak, because we see it and we're like, oh, like, I don't know. My brain is just like, you disgust me or something like that. I just, you know, go to that. It's a little bit of hyperbole, you know, some like rich hoity-toity man just being like, oh, disgusting in that sort of way. Like that's what our brain is doing when it sees us sometimes in the sense of our goal, because it's like, this has no worth to me. I do not even recognize this. I reject this. And that's where we have to step in and recognize, hey, brain, I know you think you may be right, but this is not the truth. My worth is in me. It's not in this goal that I'm doing. Despite how much you want this goal, that's, I think, a key part, is that sometimes we want something so bad it becomes a part of us, but we have to be careful and not letting it overline into our work. I find when we begin to reject ourselves, when we are afraid of looking at ourselves in terms of this honest reflection, it's because our worth is tied to the thing. And we're scared to look because that's like, it's sort of like we're scared to look at our bank account because we're like, how much money is going to be in there? Like, we're scared to look up, you know, in our brain or in ourselves and to see, well, like, how much, if this goal is there, because that's where my worth is, or that's where my safety and security is. It's not the case. You self-validate. The only one that can validate yourself at the end of the day is yourself. Believing in yourself, hoping that things can work out, yes, in this goal, but really at the end of the day, that you are the one that matter. It's not about the goal. It's not about getting there. And so in this reflection, it just think about it as if, like, I don't know, like you're building a Lego set and you're stuck halfway through and you're like, oh, woe is me. It's just like, no, like, you know, you got stuck. look up a YouTube video. Like, you can figure it out. I mean, the instructions are usually pretty helpful. That's the metaphor that came to mind. You know, you contributed to baking as well. Like, the worth of the cookies, like, yeah, they don't turn out very good if you like put salt instead of sugar or something like that. But you learn something, and you like don't have to beat yourself up over a mistake like that. You can assess, see what you did wrong, and try again. Last but not least, I would challenge you to see all of you. All of you. That's the whole point of a mirror, is to see everything. And when you look at a physical mirror, you only see the physical. But I would challenge you to look at all of you. So when your brain looks at you, it probably only sees a certain aspect. I would challenge you to see all of it. Where are you good? What are all the good things that you're doing, even in this area that you struggle with? How many dates are you trying to go on? How diligent are you in that aspect? How like amazing and dedicated you are to this thing that is difficult for you? How many people out there are pushing themselves out into this level of discomfort that you are pushing yourself out to? How many people are willing to take a look at themselves like this? How many people have gone through your situation? No one. Only you. I mean, of course, if you believe in Jesus Christ like I do, he has been there for you. And I would challenge you also to involve him in that way if you believe like that, if you have that hope like I do, because that's like, for me at least, the only way that any of this is possible. I believe wholeheartedly that you are capable and you have everything you need within you to accomplish the thing that you want to accomplish. But at the end of the day, we can't do it on our own. We need help. It's going to take time. We're going to mess up a lot, and that's okay. I would encourage you to see all of you in that aspect, to love yourself no matter what the outcome is in your goal, to have fierce love for yourself, because that is what makes the difference. The only reason way I'm doing this marathon is because of love, because I've loved myself. And I'm so happy that I like put in all this effort to like love running something that I hate and still sometimes hate. And that's okay. Like, this is just going to be fun. And this is so much for me and my relationship with myself. And so if you find that goals are beginning to get hard or like overbearing, this is a good exercise to walk through, to honestly reflect, where is your progress and how can you see more of that in your life? Because it's a choice at the end of the day to find that progress, to honestly look at the circumstance, yes, but to believe and accept yourself in that circumstance, to love yourself, because you get to choose how you think about yourself in your failure, in your setback, whatever is going on in your life. And at the end of the day, don't forget to hope. Believe things will work out for you. Of course, we are going to not, and that's okay, but believe still. Hope against hope. That's one of my favorite things to do. Hope against hope. One of my favorite phrases, where when all hope is lost, you hope nonetheless, basically, is what I've like done. Because it's like so easy for our brains to look at everything that is going wrong, and you have to hope and say, yeah, it's still going to work out. That's how it works in whatever you're going through. I know this doesn't just apply to the small things that you have going on, but very big things. I hope this helps you look at your relationship with yourself. And I would honestly evaluate that, to look at it honestly and see, you know, where are the cracks, where are the smudges, where, you know, do we have the lettuce in our teeth, so to speak, you know? And it's better to look always, as uncomfortable it is, because you don't want lettuce in your teeth. You don't want me, when I was teaching a math class and I still had a tag on my suit for several hours until someone pointed it out to me and I was like, oh, thank you. I was embarrassed, but that was a worthwhile experience to be had. I needed that. I needed someone to point that out or to look outside of me. And so if that's something that you want, to finally kind of look at yourself, take a look, see where your trajectory is, but in a place of love, this is the process that I've shown you. But if you want help with this, and you know, to have someone who has worked with people a lot on this very thing, I would love to coach you. I would love to help you and walk through a 30-minute free coaching call to help look at your life and see where maybe the smudges are and where you might want to experience some level of change in your life with love. That is my podcast for you today. That's what I have to offer to each of you. Go out there and take some honest reflection, especially if you feel stuck, but do it in love. Choose to accept yourself, not reject yourself. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please leave your review, share it with a friend, and don't forget to follow me on my Instagram at Caleb the College Coach for more content that'll inspire you. And if you want to apply the very tools that I talk about directly to your life with a personal touch, sign up for your free 30-minute coaching call with me. Remember, you are good, you are capable, and you can have the very life you want. Good luck out there in the real world.